people of color, the laws which call for mandatory minimums need to be revisited. We need to make sure that people have an opportunity to get out of prison, to, if they pay their debt, they should have a chance to get a job, to have their voting rights restored. We need to give people an opportunity to participate again. It's interesting to see the emphasis in our society on enforcement of drug laws, but no emphasis on enforcement of white-collar crime. We need to change the emphasis. We need to make it possible for us to come up with a justice system that is just. The one we have right now is unjust.
Jacqueline in San Rafael, thank you for joining us. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. Mr. Kucinich, I'm with you all the way, and you are inspiring, and that's a wonderful thing in politics. But I'm wanting you to be more talked about in the press. Do you have the utmost professional in your organization for your campaign people? I don't know that you do. I don't even know who they are, but I'm just concerned that you're not getting the kind of coverage and getting into the fray the way the rest of them are. It's wonderful to be taking the stand that you are. You have to, and we have to have a president like you. But if you can't get elected, then what? I'll take my question off the air, my answer.
Thank you for calling, Jacqueline. This is kind of a variation of what I was talking about before, Dennis Kucinich, the what I call the signal-to-noise ratio to break through the 10 candidacies, the intrinsic biases of the corporate press against anybody with progressive stands like yours. If you're a tree growing tall in the wilderness and nobody can see you, what does your growth mean?
Well, it means that that the tree will continue to grow until it towers above the rest of the forest. And my message of my campaign is one that sooner or later will cause people to say, well, he will win because I'll vote for him. So if people ask me if I can win, yes, if you vote for me. And so I'm my message is becoming so distinct. If anyone's watched the first three debates, they'd see that I continually was able to distinguish myself from all the other candidates, particularly on the Iraq issue. Today, I remain the only person who's saying it's time for the United States to get out and get the UN in, let the UN handle the oil contracts without privatization, no more Halliburton sweetheart deals, and let the UN handle the cause of new governance. Now, that issue alone could be the issue that propels me right to the top of the Democratic list, because all the other candidates are afraid to go there, and I can't see anything clearer than to say we need to get out of Iraq, stop spending the money that we were spending there, and readdress ourselves to the issues in this country, and work with the world community on matters of international security.
Dennis Kucinich, our phones are always jammed on this program, and nowhere more so than today. When we announced your coming last week, I asked people to email questions so they could break through the phone barrage. And one of the emails I got, a lot of them, one of them asked, people think that they would be encouraged, perhaps, about your candidacy if you could identify states where you thought you had a possibility of actually winning convention delegates. And, of course, the rules are different in every state about how you get these delegates. And if they felt that there was going to be a significant presence of Kucinich delegates at the Democratic convention in Boston next summer. Can you do that right now? Are you in a position to tell us where you think you're running well and where the laws of the state favor you so there might be a Kucinich presence?
I'll tell you where we have a strong presence right now and where we're organized and where we're beginning campaigns at the moment. And I'll start on the East Coast. We're in Maine, in New Hampshire, in Massachusetts, in New York State. We're organized in New York, in Pennsylvania, in Kentucky, in Ohio, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, in Iowa, in Illinois. We are organizing in New Mexico and Arizona and in California and Oregon and Washington State. I mean, these are all places that I've been and that we have people on the ground that are ready to start a door-to-door campaign. And we have campaigns of being put together in all the other states as well.
One final question for me, and then Dennis Kucinich is going to he's going to go into a phone booth, change his clothes, and emerge as a guest on his cell phone. He'll stay with us and still be dialoguing with you, the listeners, but he's got to run to the airport. There is a current vibe that I'm getting in the political gossip and chat that because there are 10 of you and the public has not yet been able to focus in and the Democrats really need a blockbuster, that the ticket that might emerge next year would be Hillary Clinton for president, Wesley Clark for vice president. Could you, as a Democrat, support a ticket like that?
Well, I'm not going to commit to support anyone but myself right now for the presidency, because I believe that I have just as much of a chance as anyone to be elected. And I think the permutations that are being created right now are all instructive. My question for the listeners would be, would the nomination of any of the individuals really change things and change the direction of this country? And since I'm the only one right now, including the people you talked about, who is ready to call for an immediate withdrawal of the United States from Iraq, and all that means, recognizing the policy failures, the loss of lives, the money that's being spent, well, where are the Democrats? Where are the other ones right now? And so that's the question that's going to continue to resonate throughout this primary season, and I think that's the question. As long as I'm the only one with that answer, I think I'm on my way to the nomination.
You're also on your way to Los Angeles. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule here. We'll be talking to you on the phone very shortly. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be taking many more of your questions. 1-800-958-9008 is our phone number. Thank you, Dennis Kucinich.
Thank you. It's good to be in the studio.
All right. To his car, and we'll just continue with the phones here and catch him up on whatever people may have said when he's able to join us again. Gordon in Berkeley, thank you for being with us today.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Scott.
Where are you, Scott?
From Berkeley. I'm in Berkeley.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah.
Berkeley's got room for all kinds of people. Go ahead.
It's great. It's great you have Dennis on. He's certainly the most hopeful candidate out there. And, you know, I just want to express that there's a real sentiment behind the recall election. There is a real dissatisfaction with both major parties because of basically, you know, all the for sale politicians who will, you know, who will do anything for a campaign contribution, you know, give away the electrical system of the state, you know, you name it. But my question is really goes into history a little bit, and I love it if Dennis could answer this question. I had it before. It was I'm still mystified by why the senators and Democratic Party allowed Bush to become president. You know, they the Black Caucus was petitioning to reject the certification of electoral college vote for president, and no Democratic senator seconded that in the Senate, which was required to do, and that would have blocked President Bush from becoming president. So That's the question I had for him.
There's also the fact that the Democrats didn't put up anything like the kind of organized presence in fight on the ground in Florida when all of the issues were being framed and all of the street heat was being brought. Where was the Democratic Party in all of that? You know, I had the Republicans importing big-name people like James Baker and lots of shock troops from out of various congressional offices in Washington. Democrats and Gore's campaign didn't do anything like that. What was going on? That's the question.
Exactly.
Dennis Kucinich, I don't know how much... Are you with us, Dennis?
Yeah, I didn't hear much of that question.
Okay, I'll rephrase it for you. The caller asked, why do you think the Democratic Party didn't put up more of a fight in 2000 about certification of the president and my contribution on the ground in Florida that allowed Bush to become president in the first place?
Well, I was there at the time, and we were actually told by the Gore campaign to stop any protest or objections. And so since he was the candidate, it really undermined the concerns that anyone wanted to pursue, because it was his choice and the choice of his campaign to stop. I think they felt that they fought long enough and hard enough, but of course there were many who wanted to just continue the protest. So it was, I'm sure it was a very difficult decision for Al Gore, but it was his decision.
John in Berkeley is our next caller. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Larry, Dennis, I'm a supporter. I donated $25 last week at a house party for you.
Thank you.
I'm from Health Gap, and I wanted to call your attention to the Stop Global AIDS platform, which will be endorsed by 300 groups. It's at www.healthgap.org. But the major thing we're asking presidential candidates to commit to is $6 billion annually for global AIDS. This is an amount set by the United Nations Commission on AIDS, UNAIDS, and I'm wondering if you could commit to something like that.
Yes, and, you know, maybe the amount wouldn't have to be so great, because part of the problem is that drug companies have been charging exorbitant prices for drugs to successfully deal with AIDS. And the emphasis on AIDS has to be on prevention as well as taking care of those who have AIDS. And so I think that the United States has a responsibility to work with the world community, and the United States has a responsibility to make a commitment to combating AIDS globally. So I'm there.
Pete is calling us from New York State, where he's an Internet listener. By the way, any of you out there who may want to get people to listen to this program or any other program broadcast on KPFA, www.kpfa.org is where we stream on the Internet. Welcome, Pete.
Hi. I'm glad I could get on. Very much behind Dennis Kucinich, support the Department of Peace. And I have a terrible question. He's obviously, to me or anybody with a mind, the best candidate. But here's the terrible issue, that elections are won, as somebody else said, in propaganda, on looks, on spin, on hype.
Well, Dennis has got one of those. He's a good-looking guy. So that one out of three ain't bad.
You know, it's funny. I've never thought about winning an election on my looks.
It's a terrible thing, but is that not a people around me that I've talked with? Talk about that. Does he have the presence, the TV? You know, I'm sure you've heard this, sir. It's not said with any disrespect. Is there some way you could respond to that?
Yes. Look, you could look through the history books and see that presidents come in all sizes and shapes, and I don't know if they come with a variety of humor, but I think that I have the temperament and the humor and the willingness to take a stand that would recommend itself to the Oval Office. All I need are votes. And once again, you know, if you have a question as to whether I can win or not, vote for me and you'll help solve the question.
Congressman Kucinich, though, there is a reality quotient behind this, though. We live in the national entertainment state. The media, corporate entertainment, infotainment, whatever you want to call it, is a massive industry in this country, and it's, of course, driving a lot of what's behind Schwarzenegger's so-called appeal to the public. This is a very, very difficult obstacle to overcome, not only for you, but for many other thoughtful people who want to go into politics. I imagine that something of this was and is true in Cleveland and certainly in Ohio in general. What did you do over the years to counteract this if you were running against somebody with a big name or a Taft? I don't think you've ever run against a Taft, but you know what I'm talking about.
First of all, it must be acknowledged that, you know, I come out of the industrial heartland of America, that I've had quite a bit of electoral success. And that being the case, my secret has been to come up with policies that respond to people's practical aspirations for peace, for jobs, for health care. And so it's really important to remember that substance does occasionally win. Now, I know that for those devotees of the musical Chicago, you know, the idea is razzle-dazzle them, and they'll make you a star. Well, I think the razzle and the dazzle is in the ideas and the policies and the programs that connect to America's hopes for jobs and health care and education and peace, and that's my message.
You're listening to Dennis Kucinich, who was with us here in the studio live until a few minutes ago. He's now on his way to the airport. He's going to be in Los Angeles this afternoon and tomorrow, and we'll repeat the events once again in a little while. That he will be at, for those of you in the Southland, Terry in Berkeley is our next caller. Good morning, Terry. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Greg Palast has done a lot of work in analyzing the election results from Florida and showed that that Catherine Harris and probably Jeb Bush instructed a database firm to do a very loose search for felons who were, you know, who could not vote in Florida. So, in other words, they caught anybody with that last name or whatever. Is that not treason? Is that not... I mean, they essentially subverted the election.
Well, I think we have plenty of proof to acknowledge that the election of 2000 was stolen. And it's heartbreaking when you understand the direction the country's been taking it. But I think what we need to do this time is to secure the 2004 election, both by making sure the structure of the election is protected, making sure the corporations do not have access to developing the software, and therefore the chance for an election to be purloined exists, and also to make sure that we have the presence of many informed and caring citizens at the polling place to make sure people's rights are not taken away, and finally to make sure we have a cause of an election which sweeps this administration out of office and sweeps into office a president who will keep us out of war, will keep us out of, get us out of Iraq, will enable everyone in the country to have health care, will enable everyone in the country to have educational opportunities and jobs. That's what my candidacy is about.
Congressman Kucinich, you mentioned in passing something that comes up again and again whenever we discuss electoral politics on this program, and that is the issue of ballot security. We're going to be going over this again next week when we do a two-hour special leading up to the recall, and listeners, I'm sure, will want to plug into that. But what is your take on the controversy now over voting machines, a paper trail, the ties to upper echelons of the Republican Party, of some of the voting machine companies? Are you concerned about the issue of ballot security?
Yes, and millions of Americans are similarly concerned, given the experience we had in the 2000 election, and also given the tendency of corporations to be able to dominate the political process through their money. I'm introducing legislation soon that will mandate that corporations not be able to produce the software, that it be produced by the government, that the source be open source code, that there be transparency in this process, that people have the ability to have an audit trail and with a paper trail, literally. We have to make sure that our elections in this high technology era are not going to be subject to simple theft, because we fully understand that integrity of the electoral process remains at issue.
Janet in San Francisco is our next caller. Hi, Janet. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hi. I'm from Kent, Ohio, originally, but I've been in San Francisco for about 20 years. I heard you speak, Dennis Kucinich, last spring at the Cowell Theater. Thanks for doing all this work. What I wanted to say in response to the public schools being underfunded, it seems to me in the past 10 to 15 years since I've been a public school teacher teaching third and fourth grade, we had to write grants to get a field trip, to get books for the library. We had to spend our time writing grants to get these type, you know, things we needed. The lack of investment in the common good certainly hasn't started with Bush. He's just continuing a tradition that's ongoing on. Seeing how this is the most prosperous state, it's been really grim. So I'd like to address that. Where's all the money going? Why isn't it? It's going into private pockets and not the public and not the common good.
Well, Congressman Kucinich, perhaps you're uniquely well positioned to respond to a question like that because you are on the Education and the Workforce Committee in Congress.
Well, we see what's happened here. The wealth has been distributed upwards, a $1.5 trillion tax cut. Most of the benefits going to those in the top bracket. We see the wealth being distributed upwards through a increase in the Pentagon budget, over $400 billion, rapidly heading towards $550 billion over the next 6 to 8 years. We see the cost of the war in Iraq. All of these things have meant cuts in education, a $10 billion cut in education, increases in the cost of education for colleges all around the country, with huge state deficits coming up. The amount of the next installment to pay for Iraq, $87 billion, exceeds the collective deficit of all the states in the country. Many of those deficits are reflected in increases in tuition fees. So what I intend to do is this. We need to have a universal pre-kindergarten program where our children ages 3 to 5 have the chance for five-day-a-week daycare, where they can get the benefits of reading skills and educational skills and social skills, to have the chance to be able to have nutrition 5 days a week. Right now, daycare costs between $5,000 and $7,000 per child. It is my intention to make sure that we have a 15% cut in the Pentagon budget, which would fund a fully funded daycare program in this country. There are many ways that we can fund education. We can cut the Pentagon budget by 15% without in any way compromising our national security. Isn't it interesting? This country has money to put weapons in space, to build new nuclear weapons, to put a missile shield up, money to go into adventures in war, which against nations that did not attack us, but we don't have money for education. I intend to change the priorities of this country, make education a top priority through fully funding it by changing our spending priorities.
Isaac in Oakland, thank you for joining us. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Mr. Kucinich. My question is specifically aimed at legislation, and I want to preface it by stating that legislation is by law not supposed to be gender biased. And so this is the question. Female genital mutilation was made illegal in the United States federally in 1998. Would you support legislation which would also extend that protection to males?
I'm going to ask if the question could be repeated, because we're going through a cell phone here where the reception isn't particularly good.
The caller is asking about what he calls male genital mutilation, i.e. circumcision, saying that female genital mutilation was made illegal in this country. Would you support similar legislation about the male circumcision process?
You know, I'm not really reading this question, but I think it has to do with, you're asking me if I would support legislation that would oppose
circumcision, what he calls male genital mutilation.
Uh-huh. You know, it's the first time I've heard about this. And so, you know, I certainly feel that I know that in some countries there has been this has been an issue with respect to women, and it's a human rights issue. It's the first time that I've heard about it. And before I respond, I'd like to know more about it. And I don't want to lose anything in the translation of a cell phone call on this issue.
Okay, Todd in San Francisco, thank you for joining us with Dennis Kucinich.
Hi, Dennis. I'm really glad that you're in the race. My question concerns, I'd like to see more serious discussion, or really any serious discussion, in the campaign about the criminality of the Bush administration. So my question is, would you pursue, if you're elected, prosecution at the international or national level against the Bush administration for its various apparent crimes in Iraq, Guantanamo, maybe Florida earlier, et cetera, et cetera?
Because I'm a candidate for president, I want to challenge this administration, and I have challenged them on the war in Iraq. I've said it was illegal. I'm the only person running for president who actually sued this administration in federal court and challenged the legality of the war. I think that as in all situations, after an election, if there's any issues that remain regard to legality, you know, all issues must be appropriately reviewed. But I do not want to make this a cause of the presidential campaign, because I think that it would, in a sense, it would cause this administration to receive a certain amount of support, which they don't deserve. It's the same reason why I oppose any kind of a impeachment at this point. I think the American people need to focus on creating a new context for governance. And we can do it without injecting white-hot issues of impeachment or imprisonment.
If you were elected, who would you consider? Do you have any names you would consider as Attorney General?
Well, I could just tell you the kind of attorney general I want. I want someone who would help break up the monopolies in our economy, monopolies in energy, the kind that strangled California on energy prices, Enron, monopolies in communications, monopolies in agriculture, monopolies in the media. We need to break up the monopolies in society in order to create an economy which is more competitive and which enables small business particularly to survive. We also need to have an attorney general that will put an emphasis on white-collar crime. Look at all the hundreds of billions of dollars that investors and shareholders have lost over the past few years because of corporate corruption. And it remains a major problem. There has to be restitution that is provided to those people who have lost money. And there has to be a new set of standards for corporate governance. I think we need to start talking about federal chartering of corporations. I want a Justice Department that will not be involved in enforcing a Patriot Act, because I'll have the Justice Department go to federal court to overturn that act as being unconstitutional. You may be aware that Barbara Lee, myself, Sam Farr, Pete Stark, and Bob Filner all appeared this week in Washington to support legislation that I've introduced that calls for essentially the repeal of the Patriot Act. I want the Justice Department involved in creating economic justice and in helping to protect social justice, but not into helping to promote schemes which spy into people's personal lives, invade their homes and their personal privacy.
We're beginning to get some breakup, and Congressman Kucinich has been very kind to extend his stay with us by cell phone. He was here live for a while, and now he's on his way to the airport. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, thank you very much for being the first of the Democratic Party candidates to respond to our invitation to appear. Again, we have invitations out to all the other candidates, and needless to say, we will also be extending invitations even more widely to other party candidates other than Democrats as this year goes on. Dennis Kucinich, thank you once again for joining us today on Sunday.
Thank you, and have a good day.
All right. For those of you listening again in Southern California, he will be appearing in a little while, afternoon, from noon to 1:30, at the Yoga Expo in the Los Angeles Convention Center. Then from 2 to 3:30 this afternoon, he'll be making an appearance at the World Fest Vegan Festival in Woodley Park in Van Nuys. And tomorrow morning from 8 to 9:30 in Westwood at the Regency Club Library Room on Wilshire, from 8 to 9:30 at the Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Breakfast Meeting in Westwood tomorrow morning from 8 to 9:30, Regency Club Library Room on Wilshire. Stay tuned to Sunday Salon. We're going to be talking about the Vietnam War and the echoes it has, even down unto and especially today. I should say, if you have any reaction, questions, or comments to this, or anything else, you can always write to us, SundaySalon@kpfa.org.
To his wife and family, after serving in the conflict overseas, and the time they served, it shattered all his nerves, and left a little shrapnel in his knee. The morphine eased the pain, and the grass grew around his brain, and gave him all the confidence he'd lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios. Stone's welcome home didn't last too long. He went to work when he'd spent his last dime, and Sammy took to stealing, but when he got that empty feeling for a $100 habit without overtime,